I'm Jesse DeGroot, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Hey, dude. Hey, you want to get a cup of coffee with me? Oh, no, man. I just went to get a cup of coffee. But you want to go get a cup of coffee? Oh, yeah. I would like to go get a cup of coffee with you. Hey, do you want to go down the street later on and get a couple cups of coffee? Yeah, all right. I'll go get a cup of coffee. Hey, do you want to watch my coffee while I go into the coffee shop to get another coffee? Oh, yeah. I got two cups right here. I'll just watch your cups while I watch my cups.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Desmarchands, a proud supporter of WGXC, is a men's and women's boutique featuring creative and classic clothing, shoes, and accessories. Now presenting our fall collections from European and American designers. Desmarchands.com. Desmarchands.com on Warren Street in Hudson, New York.
Okay, good morning. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acro. This is Now Boarding the Travel Show with Jim and Dan, and we are here. And Jimmy, it's the first Sunday of June. How are you doing? I think you are somewhere in Thailand. Is that correct?
That is correct, Dan. Happy Sunday to you on this wonderful June 3rd. Here, yes, I am coming from northern Thailand. This show, I'm in Chiang Mai, which is again in the northern part of Thailand, about a 1 hour flight north of Bangkok, about a 8 hour drive north of Bangkok.
That's great. That's great. So, what brings you there, you say?
So I am here. My girlfriend has completed her internship, so she is here to kind of wrap all of her schooling up and get all that taken care of. So I decided to join in for the trip because, as you know, I'm currently unemployed, jobless, hopeless, homeless. So I'm just riding her coattails, and she has a job lined up for herself. So I'm just doing my house husbandry duties and, you know, supporting her. I'm here, you know, packing the bags, you know, and basically her personal assistant.
That's great, Jimmy. That's most of the roles that you find yourself in, you become competent, if not immediately, then very soon after. And role as domestic husband, I think that would, you know, you probably nailed it after, you know, you made a mess of the apartment or whatever for the first day or night, maybe first day or first week. And then you just, you've been probably like Mr. Clean ever since.
Dan, I'm not going to lie. I can wash some mean dishes. There's just no joke about it. I can wash some dishes.
All right. All right, Jimmy, I'm glad that you are safe. I don't know if much has transpired for you in way of travel the last 2 weeks. Last we spoke, I don't think that you've left Thailand at all, but that doesn't mean that you haven't experienced a lot and had stories of intrigue and whatnot. So
that's correct, Dan, and I think we'll get a little more into it as the show goes on, because, you know, my 30-day visa is about to expire, and you know, basically that expires on 1 week from today, so I have to leave Thailand by the end of the week, and the question is, where will I go? And to this point, I have no idea, and I have nothing booked, so we'll talk more about that I think later in the show. But Dan, how's everything with you? I heard you have done some traveling recently.
Yes, Jimmy, everything's well, thank God. The last 2 weekends, my girlfriend and I have done some in-state, New York State traveling, which I know that it doesn't thrill you, it doesn't have any excitement to you whatsoever, but we were very happy and satisfied and excited for the places that we went, and we had a great time. Last weekend, we had traveled to Utica, which is about 2 hour drive from here in Hudson, nearly just directly west, perhaps a little north, but anyway, right off of 90.
Hey, you went to the Utica Brewery.
We didn't go to the Utica Brewery. There's Utica Club that's produced there as a quite largely manufactured beer, as well as Saranac Brewery. Saranac is a it's a notable quasi-craft brew, which is produced right there in Utica itself. We went to Utica to celebrate my girlfriend's good friend's birthday, her 40th birthday, Jimmy.
Wow, and, okay, happy birthday to her.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, it was a compilation of friends and family, not foes and enemies, so it was good chemistry, everyone was happy, and we were, I do have to say that the food in Utica was exceptional. It was fantastic. There's a large Italian population there, which I think gave much of its culinary influence, and everything that we had from what was served banquet style at the birthday party to a restaurant and a diner that we went to, breakfast establishment that we went to the next day. It was exceptional, Jimmy. The prices were far less than what we are used to, and that made it even better. And the service was fantastic. People were smiling. People were smiling, Jimmy. And they're happy just to be moving around.
Well, I mean, happy people usually do smile. Dan, I'm happy that you went to a happy place. I didn't know that Hudson was not a happy place. Usually when I'm there, I actually do see a lot of smiles. But anyways, we won't discuss any further. Jimmy,
people are happy in Hudson. That's true, Jimmy. I'm just saying it was nice to get out of town, and there are happy people elsewhere. And there's exceptional food elsewhere. There's culture. That's my observation.
So what you're telling us is basically the Trump-pocalypse has not yet happened. Basically, everyone still has smiles on their faces, and everyone is still okay. They're still getting on with their lives, and the pending Trump-pocalypse is still pending.
Yeah, yeah, that's correct, Jimmy. People aren't as fearful as what the stir and what the commotion has been, which is portrayed very vigorously in the media. People are actually they're living. Many people seem to be thriving. So, as you say, the Trumpocalypse has not occurred whatsoever. You know, our world from the last two weekends where we've traveled to, it's secure, it's vibrant, people are healthy, and from who we've come across, no one's too much in a panic. So, yeah, it's awesome. You know, you might be getting some news that's stirred up, that's just an amalgamation of hysteria. Jimmy, I will tell you, as I sit here in the USA, everything is okay, all right? Everything's all right. And upon your return, I hope that is the status, and we'll see. I mean, you know, you might be the catalyst for an apocalypse.
Yes, well, I'm hoping to open the gates next time I can be there and be on the air, which hopefully isn't going to be too long from now, actually, to be honest. Hopefully we're talking weeks until I am there with you in studio and we open the gates finally and we bring this world into order.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's, what's it called? That's prophecy. That's, you know, kind of diabolic prophecy from your part, which you like to do. I don't think it's going to happen. I know that you're coming back. That will happen. But yeah, you're opening up of whatever that you want to just cast hellfire and doomsday upon everyone. I don't think that's going to happen, Jimmy. We have our fire department here. They'll take care of you. We have our police department. We have other forces roaming around. They're going to nullify you, cancel you right down. You're neutralized.
You're getting really excited here, Dan. All I said is I'm going to open the gates because I'm going to. Well, that's just what I'm going to do. I've said it for a long time, and you know, ever since the show moved, you know, to the basically the gateway. I said, I'm going to open the gates. Where that gate is going to lead, I don't know, Dan. I'm just going to open the gates. And, you know, right. I think I'm the perfect individual to do it. But anyways, let's move on. We are a travel show, and we should talk about travel.
Yeah.
So, Dan, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, first, I want to hear about your trip, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about my day today. So today I woke up at about 5 in the morning, took a quick shower, you know, started doing my normal pre-flight ritual, which is consuming several alcoholic beverages. While I was doing that, of course, I'm watching the Yankee game. The Yankees won today. It was great, great news. Stepping back, actually, my last flight when I went to China not too long ago, I actually went on my a four-hour completely sober flight on Shanghai Airlines. And, you know, there are certain stereotypes of Chinese airlines, and this pretty much lived up to it. I'm not going to go too much into details about that on this show. Maybe next time I'll go into further detail. But really what I wanted to get to this whole – the whole point of where I'm going is, you know, so I get into Chiang Mai. We, you know, have lunch. We kind of come back, take a nap, and then we go out for dinner. So where we went for dinner is actually a, you know, a very much a Western restaurant. I believe it is an American franchise, almost positive it's an American franchise. If it's not, it's got to be like a British. But so I went to a place, you've probably been to one of them, I'm sure, in the past. It is not a Burger King or a McDonald's. It's a little bit more high-end than this.
Okay.
I'm curious if you can guess where I went tonight. Now, there are many of them. I'm going to give you some clues after every guess. I'm going to give you a couple. I'll give you two guesses now, and then I'll give you another clue.
Okay.
And see if you can get to where I had dinner tonight.
Applebee's.
No.
A clue. Provide me a clue, Jimmy. Okay, as you promised.
So one of the staples of this restaurant is many of the waiters, they wear pins.
They wear pins. You know,
pins of – usually they are – of the rest, the restaurant related. There are many locations. Again, they may have a pin from X location, Y location, or they may just have certain kind of pins in general.
Okay. Let's see. Olive Garden.
No, Dan. No, I don't think they wear pins at the Olive Garden. Okay. I know you don't go out much, but okay. Let's work on this. So, okay. So this chain was founded in 19. I've now went on Wikipedia because I wanted to make sure that it actually was founded in the U.S.
Yep.
So it was actually founded in London, England.
Oh.
But the headquarters is in Orlando, Florida.
Okay. Pins. Hardee's.
Is that even a? No, not that.
Okay. I can't think of an English. Founded in London, that would Jimmy. I'm at a loss. What's the staple there?
The franchise was sold to the Seminole Tribe of Florida. That's why it's headquartered in Orlando. Which is interesting because I think I've actually been to their headquarters. I've went to this casino. There are casinos of this brand. So it's basically a restaurant, but it has branched into certain hotels, a couple casinos. I've actually been to the casino that's in it's not in Orlando, but it's in I forget where, somewhere in Florida. They also have a big one in Vegas. I don't know if we ever went there when we were there, but again, you can find these all over the world. Even one of my old
Hard Rock Cafe.
Boom, you got it. Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Very good. All right.
Yes.
All right. Good, Jimmy. Well, I'm glad you went there.
I was craving a good cheeseburger and ended up not ordering a cheeseburger, but had a couple good beers.
Good, so good. That's fantastic. That's a lot of interesting information. The Seminole Tribe bought the company. That's and look how is a thriving one of the most recognizable chains in the world. I mean, as big cities go, and you know, for that kind of atmosphere, that's. Jimmy, I'm glad you went there. I don't think it will be your last time that you go to one. I hope you got a T-shirt out of it. But I've been to a couple. I think I've been to the Manhattan one. I know that there was one in Buenos Aires, Argentina. That I don't know if my brother-in-law and I got into, went into, but yeah, you know, they're like, it's almost like an Irish pub, you know, they're all over the world, and you can expect, well, as it's a chain, which is the great feature about a chain if you're traveling, is that you know what to expect, just like an Irish pub.
Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned the Irish pub because McGeary's was right next door. So, yeah, maybe that's tomorrow night for us. But anyways, I just wanted to quickly just see if you were able to guess it, and you were rather quickly. I didn't expect you to guess it that quickly, to be honest.
Yeah, but, well, if we had our golden voice on, I think he would have beat me to it. You know, he's just getting...
He's worked at a Hard Rock before.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He's getting, you know, he's more intelligent than us, Jimmy. Whether he started that way or, you know, he's exponentially grown.
He is ahead of us.
Yeah.
Eons ahead of us.
And
yeah, it's crazy because he was so far behind us, like, you know, just 3 years ago. So I don't know what happened, but
he
will probably be the next, you know, Amazon, Google.
I think his track, though, is. I think his track is a dark one, though. For all the accolades that we give him, you know, all the titles, all the you know, crowns that he wears, I'm afraid that he's like a, you know, as Darth Vader. Or didn't Darth Vader start out good, Jimmy, and then he became bad?
I was never really a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, and I'm asking you this because I'm not, I don't know, but I think it's, you know, he's not attending this program. He's, I think, hopefully, all of what we have, the good that we've spoken about him isn't making him inflated. That's my only...
No, I mean, the kid has an ego the size of, you know, probably the UK, which is appropriate since he's in London right now.
All right.
So,
all right. Enough of him. We spend way too much time on him.
We do miss you, the golden voice, the critical element. What did you call him, Dan? There was a word you just recently came up with that was just great.
The main component. The main component. Jimmy, I have to. I'm going to interrupt you. I've just interrupted you. Now, somewhere in the past 5 years, as we've had this program. I've set off the alarm system twice, one of which was this morning, and I have to make an apology to the studio for doing that. All the numbers that run in our heads, all the names and all the facts that run in our heads, Jimmy, they're not always just precisely at coming straight to us, you know? Sometimes you make a mistake.
Which so this I is like the password, morning. Like the... Is it like the key code password or something?
Yeah, no, it's for disarming the alarm system. Which,
Let me guess. They added a symbol or a capital letter.
No. I was either my fingers betrayed me, or you have a voodoo doll of me, and you made me alarm the system, make the sirens go off as if you were opening the gates at that moment. I don't know what happened, Jimmy, but what I'm saying is. You, me, a lot of people, we have a lot of numbers that we have to constantly, and it's just it's a testament to our day and age and our technological society as more and more we have to remember passwords and a plethora of numeric memorizations. I mean, you know, some points you make a mistake, of which I did today. And anyway, I made the apology. But,
when you set the alarm off, what happened? I mean, was there sirens? Did people I just vision, you know, SWAT team-esque individuals coming through windows on ropes, breaking glass, tackling you, or at least putting you at a gunpoint. What exactly happened when the alarms went off?
None of that happened. I was expecting something.
Disappointing.
But I just got a call from the security system, and they identified me as they know that I am here at this given point in time, and everything seems to be okay. I don't know if, you know, there are authorities that are coming to get me, Jimmy. Perhaps they're coming to get you. I don't know what's happening. But anyway, we're safe and we're good, and the program continues. That's all that is important, Jimmy. So, but beyond that. beyond that, and in relation to the Golden Voice, after last episode, I was walking up the street to get back to my apartment, and there is none other, who I haven't seen in a while, than a former reoccurring guest that we would have in our studio. And he and I collided on the street.
And I believe it was probably a real collision.
No, it was.
Is this the Mulf Man that we speak of?
It was the Mulf Man, and he had he said that. Are you still on the radio? And I just thought to myself,
he doesn't listen anymore.
I said to him, I said, come on, Mulf. I'm sure you've been listening to us. And he said he thought he was the Golden Voice, of which this goes back to, you know, all the information that we have in our heads, Jimmy. Or perhaps I'm losing my mind. Perhaps you're losing your mind. Awesome. Everyone is losing their minds. But my point is that I think he's right. It's not every day that he's right. You know, it's the Mulf. It's part of his feature that, you know, sometimes he gives us information. It's like you and I, we have to fact check ourselves constantly. But he said that he thought he was the Golden Voice, of which I think we called him something at least similar to that when he was periodically on our shows. Am I wrong?
I don't remember calling anyone else the Golden Voice besides Moody.
Might have been a description. It might have been
the bronze voice, possibly.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway,
but I mean, if to our good friend Mulf, you know, my apologies if he's offended. You know, he is he's one of those guys that, you know, he is a key piece of our show, and when he comes on, he's absolutely great.
Yeah,
I mean, he brings our show up to another level. So yeah, I mean, I'll have to go back and listen to all of our shows to see what we actually said about him. I don't remember you ever mentioning the Golden Voice until Moody.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not inconceivable that maybe you did.
Yeah, and we have to make clear that we don't give titles just very easily. You know, the title is
not at all.
It's entirely with its merit achieved and production. You know, I mean, it's not without.
Well, I mean, after we give it, I mean, there's name cards that are put in production and given out afterwards. So we'll have to just look at the name cards. I think, you know, obviously Moody's name card is getting longer and longer. I don't even know. It's more of a brochure at this point.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Jimmy, I have to say that beyond Utica, and there's one last.
Yes, please tell me more about because you also went other places.
So we also had tomato pie in Utica, which one of my good friends who
A pizza without cheese?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. How did you know about this?
No, I mean, tomato pie just sounds like a pizza without cheese.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it was, and I completely just discredited it once I heard of it. But throughout the day, I just kept on having more and more tomato pie. And, you know, I was won over. And I have to say, just like all their other foods, it was, at the end, it was exceptional. Fantastic. So, we also stayed at Hotel Utica, which is, it was a just a spectacular hotel. It was. It must have been dated back to turn of the century, which turn of the 20th century, late 1800s, early 1900s. It was completely stamped in that period of the main lobby being of marble and just carved. The ceilings were coiffured and columns, and it was just something that would be of a that sort of period in time of the, you know, golden age of industry of late 1800s, early 1900s America. And as I said before, that prices that far beyond us in Utica are far less, so we got the accommodation for very reasonable rate, which in any major city would probably have been twice, if not more, for that hotel. So, yeah.
Not to interrupt you again, and I want to continue on with your story, but you've been mentioning this as twice now you've mentioned about pricing. Has Hudson increased its pricing due to the influx of the city coming in, or what is it? Because, you know, it used to always be to me there was Hudson, which was cheap as dirt, and then there was New York City, which was really expensive. But you're talking now there's even something cheaper than Hudson being Utica. It makes me think that, well, Hudson must have gone up in price. And you know, when I think a little bit more into it, actually, the last few times I've been there, I've spent a decent amount of money.
Well, it has. It has, Jimmy. I mean, you know, as demand goes up, prices go up. And that's what has been the experience of Hudson. Not that you can't find very reasonable places in town. You can. There are. And, you know, you just have to know where they are. But, you know, that's definitely what the market has capitalized on within Hudson. But that's just the way of economy. Yeah, should there, like I say, within this town, there are very reasonable places where you get a great value. And then there are those that are, you know, just way beyond what is reasonable. And, you know, when you are in town, Jimmy, I think many people are so happy that you're around that they pay for you. They don't know, you know, and you're just entirely unaware because of that, of how we suffer.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is I try to go that route, and I try to hope people will pay for me, but somehow in the end I feel like, no, I just feel bad, so I end up paying for everyone usually.
Yeah.
You and I now are on the level where I pay once, you pay once, I pay, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But other people, I feel like, you know, my plan was, yeah, I mean, I'm back, they should pay for me, but, you know, they're hosting me. You know, I'm a guest now.
Yeah.
I'm no longer there. But, no, and then I end up feeling bad because I knew that was my intent in the beginning. I just felt that was wrong.
Yeah.
So, because
you max people out, you max them right out with your consumption.
And then I just say, okay, never mind my credit card here.
All right,
and
so there's, Now, beyond Utica, which we also went to church last Sunday, a Catholic church, St. John's, a historic part of the city, which was just a beautiful cathedral. Anyway, I don't know how interested.
You're speaking of cathedrals. Was it more beautiful than the best cathedral of them all, Yankee Stadium?
All right, I know that I couldn't carry a conversation with you on cathedrals or churches.
Anyway, sorry, just continue.
Okay, all right. So, Jimmy, I highly recommend a couple central New York towns if you ever want to have a weekend that's very well within range of a drive, whether you spend the day or spend a night. It's you know, I highly recommend going to central New York. There are many other places that you can have a good time in. But that also extends
that
to... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that wasn't the only place you've been to recently.
Right. And that extends to where we had been discussing last episode before we had... you received the call from the Golden Voice in which he brought us to Warsaw, Poland, to the cafe of which he delivered an exceptional ambience. And anyway, that's in the past. We were interrupted by him, of which our conversation before that was, you know, you are discussing New York State to someone. What would you say are three great places or three great dynamics of New York State? And you know, I think you got one of them maybe, and then you didn't get to your other two. But New York State is filled with great places, Jimmy. Great dynamics, great elements, and beyond Utica, we also this past weekend went up to Whiteface Mountain and Lake Placid, which was 3 hours drive from us in Hudson. And we went through the Keene Valley where many of the 4,000 plus foot mountain peaks are. That I think there's about 46 of them that are accessible to climbing through the trail systems provided by the New York State Parks. And anyway, I climbed for the third year in a row on the bike, the Veterans Memorial Highway up to the summit of Whiteface, and it was just beautiful. It was, I mean, if you ever are up there, Jimmy, I know that nature is not what you're seeking, but you might even be blown away by the magnificence of how beautiful the park is, how beautiful the peaks are, the vantages. Even if you just drive up, I'm not thinking that you'll ever cycle a mile on that 8 mile ascent without any levelness, without any decrease. It's just continuous ascent. I'm not thinking that you'll even be towed behind like you're a baby, and you know, the parent is towing you behind in the cart while they're going on the bike. It's not going to happen, but you can always drive or be a passenger up that highway to just take in pure brilliance in way of scenery.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, one thing I will say is, you know, actually, as we speak, I'm actually looking right now at, you know, the beautiful scenery, you know, surrounding Sierra Nevada. Because, you know, I updated my Mac to Mac OS High Sierra. So, which is a background of Sierra Nevada. So that's probably about as close as I'm going to get to nature in my life.
Jimmy,
I'm looking at it right now. It's wonderful.
I'm talking about the Adirondacks.
I'm just talking about my, yeah. You mentioned that it's not likely I may ever see these things because of what motivates me, which maybe is not so much nature. And I'm just saying, but, you know, at the same time I am, you know, I see it. Not the Adirondacks, but I see the Whitney Mountain right now in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's fantastic. That's in California.
There, I can see it.
Yeah, that's California. That's, you know, 3,000 miles plus away from the Adirondacks. You know, we're talking about New York State here. You could look at a Saranac beer label, and they have beautiful images. But, yeah, Jimmy, look, next time that we're going up to Montreal or we go to Quebec City, we'll make a stop in the Keene Valley, drive up the Veterans Memorial Highway. You can salute the U.S. before you get, you know, your first time back into Canada.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I think we'll have to make a stop because I think you'll have to drop me off. I don't know if I'm going to get across the border, but yeah, we'll get in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but beyond that, yeah, I mean, it was – so beginning the race, we were at the Whiteface Mountain Ski Lodge, and then the gun went off, about 350 riders, and then we went about 3 miles more or less down until we got to the Veterans Memorial Highway, of which we began our ascent. But you know, I do the
first half, the downhill part I could do. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, you could do that. anyway, you know, we're running parallel with the Au Sable River, which is just a feature in itself, which is just spectacular. But so we began the day of just – we began the race with pure humidity. I got to the top, and it was a bit cloudy, but it was showers on and off, and it was a clearing at that point. 10 minutes later, Jimmy, it just – the skies released themselves in what – I can only describe to you, and you would only know as monsoon-like. I mean, it came down without 10-foot visibility in front of us. It was as if, you know, we were being washed. The mountain was going to get washed away. It didn't. I'm surprised some of us on our bikes didn't get washed away. But it was just torrents. And just pure sheets, and almost as if, you know, Big Thirsty from the Hudson Fire Department was over us in a cloud and just spraying us. It was as if there were multitudes of Big Thirsty fire trucks just spraying down from their water hoses. That's how it was like, Jimmy. I can't put it any other way.
And you miraculously survived, obviously, because you're on the show with us today. Unless I have succeeded in opening the gates, but you wouldn't be coming from us from down below. You'd definitely be coming from us from up above. So
it was we waited 15 minutes and then we got out of there, and my vehicle, my girlfriend drove up so we could get down, and she's done it 3 years in a row. And I have to say thank you very much to my girlfriend. She's a blessing to me, and she's lovely and great. And I have to say I couldn't have done it without her. But we got down the mountain and went to Lake Placid.
You're telling me you finished the race via vehicle?
No. At the top, So the vehicles go up to the castle at the top, and then down we went. After the race was completed, after we summited, we went down in my vehicle, of which she was driving. She drove to the top.
Maybe I missed something. So when the monsoon was happening, you finished the race through the monsoon, and then you took vehicle.
I finished before the monsoon, and then we I got a Powerade or Gatorade and took in the views, and then... Yeah, then we went down about a half an hour later.
But Powerade or Gatorade, I mean, one sponsor is going to be really upset with you. But obviously, I'm just joking. This is a radio show. We have no sponsors or anything like that. but I was talking about sponsors for your race. Clearly, you're still in between in deciding that. Well, Dan, my biggest question to you is, what place did you finish?
I don't know which place. I was about 2 minutes slower than last year. It's okay, Jimmy. Probably somewhere around 50th. It wasn't the greatest showing, but
last year you came pretty close. You were like, weren't you like in the top 10 or something, like fourth or something?
No, I wasn't. No, I was like 40, but that's okay.
Maybe it's 40th, but yeah, still. Yeah. What's going wrong in the last year? I mean, do you need to hire me as a trainer to help you? I mean, because this, 2 minutes is, unless you fell off your bike or something, then up.
It's a matter of lack of training, Jimmy. It's
I should be time put into it.
Yeah, I should be putting in about 200 miles of cycling each week, and that's not I'm not at a tenth of that. So that's So that's what it requires. That's a lot of time, Jimmy. These are extremely demanding events, and if you want to be competitive, you got to put in that time, and you got to put in some hard training. It was painful if you're winning the race, there's either an abundance of pain that you have committed to yourself to get to that to get to the top first in way of training, or you're pushing yourself as well during that given extent of time of the race, and you're going through a threshold of just pure pain, which is usually the case. And most everyone who was within the race, they felt at least, the top guy probably finished about 54 minutes. So, and then people were coming in, 2 hours or whatever as well. It's painful, regardless.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't sound fun. I have to be honest. I feel much better just looking at the Sierra Mountains in the background of my laptop than else.
Jimmy, the Adirondacks are a gem. It's one of the features that, I would say to, if someone asked me what's great about New York State, I'd say there's so many regions, of which is a 6 million acre state park. I believe it's 6 million acres, which is massive, Jimmy. It's our president would say, it's huge, and that's one of the
huge or just huge. Trump, yeah. Huge. Okay.
Yeah, and that's it's a treasure. So many hiking trails, and have to give a lot of credit to the Park Service that maintains those and trailblazes those. And so many vantages, so many mountains. Like I say, I think there's about 46 or so, which many people make it a point to summit those given peaks above 4,000 feet. And, you know, rivers in way of the Aux Sable to other river networks. It's just, it's extraordinary. It's fantastic, you know. Between Lake George to you know, Plattsburgh, lakes, rivers, mountains.
The Park Service is in New York are absolutely fabulous. Even some of the parks that, believe it or not, even that I've been to, I mean, they are phenomenal. There's not too much garbage around. I mean, they're all well maintained, clean, and they're nice. You're absolutely right, Dan.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and we don't. Yeah. You know, sometimes we bash state entities. State departments, and
yeah, of course, you know, rightfully so most of the time, but this is one we have to give some accolades to.
Oh, certainly, certainly. So from us, from Now Boarding on WGXC, we are giving another accolade, and it has been well deserved, to the New York State Park Service.
You say another, but I think it's actually our first one we've ever given.
Perhaps, you know, I mean, I think we agree on the accolades. That's one point that we agree on, Jimmy, our accolades that we give out. So, yeah.
Well, again, for our first one, so this was an easy one. We'll see how the second one goes.
Jimmy, and you might like, you know, I don't know, maybe you should get to Lake Placid. It's there are many bars, many restaurants. There's even a couple clubs, which, you know, that's your forte.
Dan,
you know,
I have not been into a club in years. It's funny you say that. My girlfriend always asks, so how do you dance in the club? And I'll do like sprinkler, or I'll do washing the windows or something like that. And you know, but Dan, I haven't been into the club. I don't even remember the last time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe if you're around Moody Madojevic or Spadus Padojevic or...
Yeah, I mean, they're clubbers, as, you know, as hard as they come, no doubt about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. Anyway, you've matured. You know, we've seen it. We've heard it for the 5 years that we've been on WGXC. There's been the maturation of Jimmy. That's certainly... what's occurred. And
see, I think I've become a better actor. I think that's what it is.
All right, Jimmy, anyway. I'm going to ask you the three great dynamics that you might give to people about New York State. We left off before we got taken to Warsaw by the main component, the Golden Voice. You can go on with the titles, but this was a conversation that we were having, and I want you to finish it. You're like a wrestler in the WWE. Finish it.
So you're talking about three things that I like and value about New York State.
Yes.
From a traveler's perspective.
Yes. Someone's going to New York State from Thailand. You just met with them, or someone from Singapore, or, you know, many of the multinationals that you know, they're going to New York State for the first time. And all that you know is that they're going to New York City. What else do you say?
Well, I'm going to say first, I'm going to throw one out there. And I don't remember. I don't think I ever answered this question last time. Or if I did, I don't remember.
No,
what
you
I
haven't.
Said,
so. Like I said, Warsaw Cafe yep. was where we got sent to. And anyway,
so,
go.
Just kind of, you know, carrying off of what you've said and some of the scenic things, you know, for the same reason you go to Japan in May to see the cherry blossoms, go to New York in the fall to see the changing of the leaves. And
good.
That, and obviously, that means getting out of the city, obviously. So that's, you know, one, get out of the city. Mm-hmm. You're really putting me on the spot here because, you know, again, we've not rehearsed this. This is not, you know, our shows where we're used to kind of go over bullet points of what we discuss. Mm-hmm. Now just comes that you call me at about 10:49,
mm-hmm.
10:49 to 10:59, about 11 yep. to 1 minute before the show.
Yep.
And, you know, we just go with it. So One, I would say that the Chaining of the Leaves, which kind of covers also, you know, some of the scenic aspects of New York. So I'm not going to go into any more of them.
Okay.
Oh man, it's a difficult question. I mean,
there's a lot going on, Jimmy. I mean, I don't know if you've been to the Thousand Islands.
Yeah, I mean,
been
to
any horse races?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Saratoga, obviously, but I'm not going to go there because it's not really my thing. I would say, you know, New York has, I would say breweries, but there's breweries all over the U.S. now, so I can't even say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say go to New York City, but explore the other four boroughs that are not Manhattan.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are going to Brooklyn nowadays, Jimmy, but... yeah, come on! You got to get out of the city, Jimmy. You got to go north. I mean,
So again, I've already done the scenic piece, that covers a lot of upstate, and when I say upstate, a lot of outside of New York, north of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say explore the other boroughs outside of Manhattan, the other four.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's important. Mm-hmm. I've been to some great places in the Bronx, in Queens, in Brooklyn. I mean, you remember, Dan, when we went to that KTV in Queens with Spada.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing, we didn't even know where we were, but, KTVs are really big on this side of the world in Asia. Okay. So, I mean, I can completely put it together now. I couldn't then, but it was like, where are we at?
Yeah.
Places like that, there's places you find and some hole in the wall, some dive bars.
Jimmy, have you been to the Catskills? Have you been to, you've been to Buffalo. You've been to Buffalo. Rochester?
I'm not going to say the Catskill
the
Game
Roch?
Farm.
It doesn't exist anymore.
The Catskill Game Farm. I know it has been sold. But so listen.
You've been to Captain Kidd's?
Yes.
You used to navigate the Hudson? I mean, you used to...
Yeah, but see, you're trying to make my third decision for me. That's not acceptable. So what I'm going to say, and again, this I've already covered. I am not a nature guy, so I've already covered the scenic piece. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I bring that up is because of the boat that I used to work on, mm-hmm. the Spirit of Hudson, which is a great tourist attraction. Absolutely, mm-hmm. if you have a chance on the boat, even if you are from Hudson or a local, go on the boat. You'll learn a lot. That's where I learned mm-hmm. a lot about. I know about Hudson.
And life. About life.
Life, you're absolutely right. You're correct.
You know? I mean...
That's just because of the awesome team that they have going.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a family atmosphere.
I mean,
so
when is the dog going to have the autobiography of Jimmy? When is that going to happen? And, there's going to be much about Jimmy's coming to age. You know, I think maybe this month when you come back, perhaps you could have a book signing. Your autobiography and...
Get the autobiography printed first, but and even typed and even thought of. But anyways, I'm just trying because, again, this is on the spot. You're putting me on the spot.
I know you don't like history.
You are trying to guide me to an answer.
I'm going to interject. There's been more, and this is historical information, and you can check me. There were more resources supplied to the Union Army. Via troops and supplies that came out of New York State than any other state, okay? And then in World War II, I believe, supplied the most troops was from New York State. One other fact, Jimmy, I think New York State had the most battles during the American Revolution. Ticonderoga.
We are the now boarding travel show. We are not New York History 201. Okay, so again, I'm going to stop with the two things I said. I'm going to think of a third. Why don't you tell us your three things that you love about New York?
All right. I'm going to say the mountains, if it be the Catskills or the Adirondacks or the Hudson River Valley made from the, the wall of the Catskills and the Taconics and Berkshires. And then the... let's see. So that's nature component. And then the history, as I say, Fort Ticonderoga. It's just, even the guns that were captured from Fort Ticonderoga, they came down the river valley. They supplied us Americans to be a vital component in Boston Harbor. Are you awake, Jimmy?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. What were you saying, Dan? I apologize. Again, it's a little bit late. It's 10:49 p.m. here.
All right, and then just all the regions of New York. Which I mean, it's 300 miles south to north, east to west, vice versa, and in between we have so much going on, so many different diverse regions from the southern. What's it called? Tier to Thousand Islands to Adirondacks to the Hudson River Valley to the beaches of Long Island to central New York, Niagara Falls. There's so many different populations. You can get so much great food, as you say, breweries, whatnot. But we have the CIA in Poughkeepsie, Hyde Park, whatever. We have an abundance of culture beyond New York City. And then, Albany was previously Fort Orange. You know, the Dutch, all the way before the Dutch even, we had Iroquois Nation tribes, you know? I mean,
yeah.
We have, that heritage. Not that...
You're going in the same direction. I was really thinking about what would be my third aspect, and I think it is the people, but not normal New Yorkers or upstaters as you would consider. It's the people that, that are the outliers.
Okay.
The people like the Mulf man.
Okay.
People like him and, these other people who you can just, they're just so different than, what we would normally see. And just seeing all those differences and all the diversity. And, again, this gets more down as we go closer to New York City, you get very diverse and, getting that is what I really, one of my favorite things about New York.
Yeah, well.
The not standard people that live and have come to grow up in New York for various reasons and their stories. I would say that is my third, Dan, and maybe probably the biggest.
And you know what's interesting about upstate New York is that New York City, as we've said this before on our show, it's arguably the most dynamic city in the world by so many standards and indexes, which compels and attracts as a gravitational force of migration people from all over the world, which you go to New York City to given boroughs, and that is
the rooftop.
That is the rooftop. Yes, yes. And you see Australia. You see all of the different peoples throughout the world,
absolutely.
Right?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And then once they begin to advance themselves, if they come from, poor economic beginnings, they really, many of them, want to get out from the urban environment. And where do they go? I suppose they go in a radius of New York City, but many come upstate, and that's why Albany itself has a rather diverse population, Jimmy, of different ethnicities, as well as other parts of other much smaller urban settings, or, even they get into rural settings, and they go to different parts of the state. I'm sure from your Buffalo experiences, there's been many different, migrant ethnicities. Immigrant ethnicities, and that's what happens. I mean, in Utica, my girlfriend's friend was saying that there's quite a large Yugoslavian population, I think. And that's there are different immigrant ethnicities throughout cities of New York, which give it a further dynamic, a cultural dynamic. But we have to say,
absolutely.
But we have to say, I think you're part, your blood is part Native American or indigenous people or persons. I don't know. I'm sure we're going to get mutilated and tortured for being politically incorrect. But I don't know what the great, term is these days, Jimmy. But it used to be Indian when we were growing up. I think you are somewhat Native American. Am I wrong?
I am not one bit, Dad.
Okay.
I am a quarter Italian, a quarter Irish, a quarter German, and a quarter Polish.
Look at that. You know, I mean,
yeah.
For some
Anyways,
reason,
Dad, I don't even know why you thought that. To be honest, but anyways,
it was your, you know, how diverse you are. You know, your element. It's the human element coming from you. That's why I thought that. You know,
thank you. No,
you would be accepted in any tribe, Jimmy. I think
definitely. Yes, I believe so as well. I'm definitely closer to Indian, and by Indian I mean people from India, than Native Americans. But anyways, let me move on for a second, Dan. Let me change the subject a bit because I have a question. This is something I need to figure out myself in the next 24 to 48 hours. Dan, my visa is running up here, and again, I'm just on a tourist visa in Thailand. I have to leave the country for at least probably a day or two, literally Friday or Saturday. Where do I go? I don't know. You know, my plan right now is to go to Yangon in Myanmar, Burma, because I've not been there. It's another check off the list in terms of countries. But, you know, I'm open to suggestions. Any ideas from you where I should go? It's just a quick flight from Thailand, up to maybe 3, 4, or 5 hours away, budget airline. Any ideas? I also thought about Jakarta for a little bit because one of my friends from the U.S. is going to be in Jakarta at the time. But
yeah. You want to go somewhere new, Jimmy?
Absolutely. I prefer to go to somewhere new, yeah.
Okay. And let's see. You haven't been to Burma, right? Is that what you said?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And you haven't been to – I don't know if you want to go to Jakarta. I mean, just from what I sense of it, it's probably just so densely populated and a lot of pollution.
Yeah, traffic's terrible.
I wouldn't really – but your friend is in Jakarta? I mean,
yeah, one of my friends, he's from the U.S., but he's some gentleman I met. He was in Singapore for some time, and he's actually going back because his wife is from Indonesia. She's actually from Jakarta, and she's about to give birth to their child. She was in the process of getting an actual permanent, basically a permanent residency visa for the U.S., but just hasn't processed yet, I think, with all of the Trump initiatives, which normally would take a year, it's been now a year and a half, and it still hasn't processed yet.
Yeah.
So because of that, they have the child in Indonesia, so he's coming over for that because she's about to have the child any day. So the reason I'm going there, I mean, I would have someone literally. I'd have a not only him, but I'd have his wife, who's a log local on the ground, and her friends who could, you know, show me around if should she end up becoming
Jimmy,
should she give birth during the period.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking, you know, maybe let that pan out, let that happen first, and then I can go visit them
why
later.
Now, how far away would be rather close place in India? Could you get to India in 5 hours?
Yes, I mean, I could easily get to India, but
you haven't
India
been there. You haven't been there. And,
correct.
I mean,
I feel India's on my horizon
Jimmy,
way or the other.
Jimmy, you have to go to a new place, and you have to explore. You have to provide us with new information. I mean, you know,
the other,
it has to be done. You are our correspondent, our international.
Thank you, Dan. And the other big thing is, though, India is a nonstop flight from New York. One of the big things I've been hoping to accomplish when I was in Singapore was to go to places that are not a nonstop flight from New York, but there has to be a layover. So I've gone to every country around this area that is not, except for, and I've been to Indonesia already a couple times.
Yeah.
Myanmar. So that's where it kind of came up. India, I'm on a collision course with one way or the other. I actually have a teleconference with people from India who I'm going to be helping out. So that will happen. Likely, people will pay for me to go and be business-oriented. So I know that's going to happen. There'll be business. I'll take a vacation on the side. So I don't necessarily, you know, one way or the other, that will happen.
Okay.
For sure.
Look, we have less than a minute. I want to say that you've done a fantastic job. But you have to go somewhere new. I think Burma would be good. It's volatile. That would be good for you. However, you're coming back very soon. Is that the case?
Likely anywhere from 1 week to 1 year.
Come on. I know you have a convention or a seminar in Maine in about 2 weeks. So everyone is excited, Jimmy.
That's not true, Dan. That was hopefully my job opportunity. Which
20
still
seconds,
is.
Jimmy. We have 20 seconds.
So, Dan, I don't know when I'll be back. Hopefully in the next literally 4 to 6 weeks, but honestly, okay. It could be much longer.
All right, Jimmy, I have to say thank you to our listeners.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you to our listeners.